1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, these are the words of God. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has Yahweh defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people went to Shiloh, or sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" And they understood that the Ark of Yahweh had come into the camp. And so the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp. Elohim has come into the camp." And they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated, and every man fled to his tent. There was a very great slaughter, and there fell in Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, there is a king in Israel, and he is very angry. And he's not angry at the Philistines. We already know from the opening chapters of Samuel who he's angry at. And it was Hophni and Phinehas. Remember, the reason that Hophni and Phinehas didn't listen to Eli when he rebuked them was because God is determined to kill them for profaning his worship, for worshiping the way that pleased them, and taking the part of the meat that belonged to God for themselves. Okay, so they took God's instructions for worship and they altered them just a little bit to please themselves. And God is determined to kill them. They were also doing many other very wicked things. Things that are much more shocking to us because we don't commit sins like violating the women of Israel at the door of the tent at Shiloh, whereas they do. So that's very shocking to us, but we do commit sins like changing the worship of God just a little bit to please ourselves. And so that's not so shocking to us. And so God is shocking us with how determined he is to kill Hophni and Phinehas. If we look at the beginning of the passage, the word of God, the word of Samuel came to all Israel, and we see that this is an act of grace. The Lord is asserting himself as king. Remember, in the last chapter we heard that the word of God had been rare. They hadn't had it much. We should be thankful for the word that we have. It's a wonderful restoration of the favor of God for his word to stop being rare. And we have it in plenty. Look around the table. How many Bibles there are. That's not all that we have. How often we get to read it and hear it and have it applied to us and go to the public worship of God and have Jesus preach from heaven in the public worship. And so God is asserting himself as king. This comes at the end of there was no king in Israel and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Well, now God is speaking. The word of Samuel came to all Israel. There is now a king in Israel. That's why in a few chapters it's going to be so bad when they say, give us a king like the Philistines, after Israel's king has actually gone into the Philistines' territory and slaughtered them so badly and afflicted them so badly that they're like, send their king back to Israel, lest we all die. But it's not just that there's a king in Israel. He's very angry. He's determined to kill Hophni and Phinehas. And in fact, Hophni and Phinehas dying is presented just a couple chapters ago as the sign by which Eli will know that all of the curse that is coming to his house. This Hophni and Phinehas dying is not the curse, remember. It was just the sign that the greater curse would come upon Eli's house for what was done to the worship of God. Okay, so Israel goes out to battle, and the Philistines go out, and Israel joins the battle. Israel loses 4,000 men. The elders ask the right question, but get the wrong answer. They say, why did Yahweh strike us? Okay, this is why I agree with the New King James when they say in verse 3 that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. People say, well, that could be translated that when he comes among us, he may save us. Well, the elders already know that Yahweh is among them. They know that Yahweh is the one that is killing them. So these are not like so many even Christian pastors who say, oh, well, this was a God thing, or that was a God thing, meaning that some other things are not God things. These elders are, quote-unquote, reformed. They know that God rules and overrules in everything that happens. They know that if you go out to fight a bunch of filthy Philistines these uncircumcised kill 4,000 of you, that Yahweh did that to you. And so they say, why did Yahweh strike us? And so the answer is not Yahweh was not with us and now he will be with us. It was, aha, we forgot to bring his furniture. If we bring his furniture, then he will give us victory. So we must be very careful if we look at a situation. And you know what? The priests were to bring the ark into the battle, and the Lord was to fight for them. At least that had happened before. They had done that before. Okay? So there's at least biblical precedent for the procedure. But it was superstitious. And we could do that now, too. There are a lot of people who are rightly saying, why is the Lord afflicting us? And the answer is to look at the Word of God and see what we're doing and learn and repent and cry out for God's mercy and ask that God would be glorified. Now, it might not be tied to a particular sin. We know from the book of Job, we know from the Tower of Siloam and Pilate mixing the blood of the Galileans with their sacrifice, it's not always for a particular sin, but it is always an opportunity for particular repentance. So in the same place where Jesus says, do you think that they were worse sinners than you? No. He also says, but I tell you, unless you repent, you shall all likewise die. Okay? So we always have opportunity for repentance. And we look at the church today, and we are committing exactly the sin, which is the answer to the question, why did Yahweh strike us? Okay, so it's possible that we do things like fast and set aside times of prayer and add an evening public worship service if you don't have one yet and other special worship services of humiliation and repentance, have the Word of God preached. You could do things that are authorized by the Word of God, but we can do them in a superstitious manner. It can be unto us so much furniture, so much religious stuff, that we are not actually looking to God himself rather than the measures that we are taking. And that was the big mistake here. They were not looking to God himself. And we, of course, have much that we can specifically repent of, can't we? Starting with when we come to worship, are we just going through exercises that we know we're supposed to go through? And each one of you have to answer this for yourself. Are you just going through the exercises in worship? Or are you giving your heart and mind to the Lord and trusting in Jesus and his righteousness and his sacrifice to make you acceptable in heaven and to sanctify your worship so that it is acceptable? And are you giving your mind and giving your heart and offering your soul as a sacrifice unto God in the worship? And of course, each of us have different things, whether in our, the way we interact with others, the way we think of them, how we do our work, whether we allow anxiety and unbelief and distrust of God to rule the way that we think, or whether the peace of God in Christ Jesus is ruling the way that we think. I'm just picking some of the things that I think some of you could, as you think about this, repent before God and say, Lord, I know that this is an occasion for repentance, a time for repentance, when we say, why have you struck Israel? Okay, and we see more of why God would strike Israel, because they basically think about God the way the Philistines do. They treated God's furniture as really the thing that would make the difference, which is superstition. And that's not a whole lot different than the Philistines, to think that the Israelites have gods and the Philistines have gods. And sometimes the Israelite gods are one place, but now the Israelite gods are in another place. And the Philistines, of course, think that their gods are with them already. I'm sure that they had their gods with them. And their answer was, fight harder. We already have our gods with us. We can't add our gods to the mix. Like, they just added their gods to the mix. Silly of them to forget their gods. Probably the Philistines could have thought. But now that it's one army with its gods against another army with its gods, we'll fight harder. And fight harder they did, and 30,000 fell. But ultimately, Yahweh struck 30,000 more. And Yahweh sent his ark into the camp of the Philistines that he might humiliate Dagon, the Philistine god, one of the Philistine gods, but especially that he might kill Hophni and Phinehas. So the Lord is king. He is king everywhere, all the time. He gives us opportunity to repent when we say, why have you struck us? And if we must be struck that the Lord would be glorified over his church, and if we must be struck that the Lord would be glorified over the Philistines, then we say, Lord, be glorified. Just grant me repentance. Grant that I would belong to you by faith in Jesus Christ. And whatever else it takes in your providence in my life, be glorified. May the Lord give us such hearts towards him and grant the reformation of his worship. Let's pray. Our Father, help us not to do what is right in our own eyes. Help us not to think that our religious actions control you. We pray, O God, that you would make us to be grateful for your word and humble before your word, obedient and repentant, that we would not think that our religious actions control you, but that we would be grateful for the means that you have given us, because you alone, O Lord, are our hope and are our help. And the reason the means are glorious is because you have given them and you use them. And we know that you work beyond them and even often without them, but that you also honor them and you are pleased to use them and show yourself faithful. And so help us to come into your worship in this home, into your worship in the corporate service on the Lord's Day, not with the superstition that looks like the Philistines or even Israel here, but hoping in you through Christ. We pray that you would enable us to see how horrible is the sin of altering your worship even just a little bit, that you were so determined to kill Hophni and Phinehas, both so that we would, by your mercy, be diligent not to commit the same sin, but to worship exactly as you have commanded, but also so that we might be the more amazed that our worship is acceptable through the blood and righteousness of Jesus, who would get glory, as he is the one who has made the way to come to you. Help us, Lord, to see the glory of your Son, his perfect righteousness and goodness, His amazing humility and valuing us such that he humbled himself to be a man, to die the death of the cross, that he would take upon himself what we deserve. And open our eyes a little bit more by this portion of your word to see how great is that condemnation that we deserve, even from our worship. Truly, you have been good to us. Help us to see it and rejoice in it, to know that you are getting glory, to know that you are doing us good for Christ's sake, even through the heaviest discipline, to rejoice that whenever you give us the privilege of suffering for your name, even if it is a sharing in the suffering that is the vindicating of your name over against both what the church does and what the world does. Oh, vindicate, glorify your name, we pray, that when we come sometime hence and look back and whatever we see, whether it was the greatness of the plague or the greatness of the fear or the foolishness of the response, that whatever it is, we would see first and foremost that you glorified your name. Lord, our hearts don't ordinarily think this way, so we thank you for your word and this time that you gave us in it to see that. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.